All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Lawrence Hagel presiding. All who have business before this court draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. You may be seated.
Good morning. Before we get started, I'd like to recognize the General Counsel of the VA. I take it you won't be arguing today. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you for coming. Today we're here to hear oral arguments on the case of Daniel Murray versus the Secretary Eric Shinseki. The docket number is 090158. Who will speak for Mr. Murray? Thank you very much. And who will speak for the Secretary?
Michael Fry, Your Honor, and to my right is lovely Will Gow, Deputy Assistant General Counsel.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Carpenter.
May it please the Court, I'd like to reserve 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
May it please the Court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. Daniel Murray. Mr. Murray today contests the decision of the Board of Veterans Appeals on the basis that the Board failed to correctly apply 4.25B based upon the requirements of 38 CFR 3.951B. In this case, Mr. Murray was entitled to and did not receive the protection of his rating for his left knee disability under the provisions of 3.951B as rated under Diagnostic Code 5257.
Is the central issue here then, Mr. Carpenter, whether that section protects the rating or the diagnosis or the diagnostic code after 20 years?
Actually, Your Honor, I'm not sure that that is an issue here. That is the issue, I believe, as the government sees this case. However, as I see this case, since the VA did not take an affirmative action to change his rating of 10% before October of 2003, when his rating became protected, that the action that they took in March of 2008 by adding to his disability the disability from arthritis, which is a disease, implicates the provisions of 4.25B, and that the whole side issue of a debate about whether it is the disability that's protected or the rating that's protected or the diagnostic code that is protected is a distraction to the question of the application of 4.25B. 4.25B is not discussed by the board in its decision, and that is error in and of itself. But the failure to apply it here, when there is an acknowledgement, at least implicitly in the record, that there is a protective rating in play here, and then the failure to recognize that what is being relied upon presently for the rating is the implication of both pain and arthritis, a little hard to tell, quite candidly, from the board decision whether it's pain from the knee or it's pain from the arthritis, but in any event, there isn't any dispute that there is a basis for a separate additional rating for 10%.
Well, let's,
for the arthritis.
I've got to have a question about that. Regardless of what's protected, throwing that out, you know, he still has, and the government I'm sure will argue, he still has 10% rating. So isn't in effect the protection applied here?
No.
And why is that?
Because the VA has recognized an additional disability from arthritis, and that rating is required to be recognized under 4.25B as a separate disease entity. It's specifically identified in the reg.
Well, even doesn't the board in its decision, if you look at the what they say is, look, you have no lateral instability anymore, correct? But you do have some problems with your flexion and your extension, correct?
That's not the way that I read it. The way that I read it is that they rejected any extension and they weren't really sure that he even met the
well, he didn't
reflection.
Meet, they didn't meet. He didn't meet both. He didn't meet both of them, according to the facts found by the board.
That's correct.
Okay, so he would have 0%, even under your rationale here, he would have 0% if you rated him under those diagnostics.
Under 5260 and 5261, you mean?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, so he would have 0. So he had 10 before. He has 10 now. His condition says even if we accept your theory about he now has arthritis, he would get 0. So how is he harmed?
Because as of October 31st, 2003, he had a protected rating of 10%. Mm-hmm. He did not have a disability from arthritis mm-hmm. until sometime, I believe, in 2003.
Okay, but still, I understand that. I understand all that.
Oh,
but still, before all this occurred, he had 10%, and after all this occurred, he had 10%.
That's right.
And so tell me how the... and you say the rationale is that he now has arthritis. But when you look at the rating for arthritis and the conditions, that only meets 0%.
No. Under 5003, he is entitled to 10% if it is 0% for the underlying 5260 or 5261 under the provisions.
Okay, 10%. 10%? 10%.
That's correct, Your Honor. And he's
you say
entitled
that,
to a
you say that combines to, you say that combines to 20%, then. Is that your argument?
No, I'm saying he's entitled to a separate disability rating for 10% for the residuals of the knee injury and 10% for the disease of arthritis.
Well, but doesn't that really lead back to my original question, and that is, in order to apply that additional 10%, you have to say that the original diagnosis still applies, because otherwise you're left with exactly the situation that you've been discussing with Judge Hagel, which is that under 5260, 5261, he can't get more than 10% for the arthritis. It's only if he still has the laxity diagnosis that you get this additive effect under 4.25.
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor.
Okay, please explain.
He has the right to the 10% as of November 1, 2003. As of November 1, 2003, the VA had not attached arthritis as an additional disability. As a consequence, once arthritis is added, there is a protected rating at 10%. And the discussion about plasticity, subluxation, or lateral instability is no longer relevant. You can't go there. The VA cannot go there. The only place the VA can go is to recognize that he does, in fact, have an additional disability that they recognize from arthritis that's been verified by X-ray. And as a consequence, he is entitled to a 10% rating separately to be combined under the provisions of 4.25.
So you would divorce that separate 10% rating for arthritis from any other criterion with regard to the knee?
I believe it's divorced as an operation of law under the provisions of the statute at 110 and the regulation at 3.951B.
Mr. Carpenter,
yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Always good to see you.
Thank you.
Do I understand that the diagnosis for arthritis occurred sometime around December of 2005?
That is my best understanding of when it appears in the record.
Okay.
Which obviously would be after November 1 of 2003.
Right. And the regional office applied 50... I have my numbers mixed up here. 5260 and 5261.
That's correct.
With the
arthritis.
Knee injury with arthritis.
That's correct.
And are you suggesting that, obviously I guess you are, that combining the arthritis with the knee injury was improper?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
As I understand the provisions of the regulations, that when you have arthritis in a major joint, you go to that joint for the diagnostic code. And that when you recognize the arthritis, you use that diagnostic code for the rating under 5003 and 5010. And that it is the provisions of that diagnostic code that essentially send you back to the 5260 or 5261. See, I have no problem with what the VA did in March of 2008 when they finally decided that they would give a 10% rating for the condition with arthritis. What I have a problem with is that in that same decision and subsequently in the board's decision, they lost the protected rating under 5257.
How do they lose the protected rating if they had it? If 10%, I think both of my colleagues just indicated 10% was present initially, 10% remained.
But it's 10% based upon a separate disease entity of arthritis. And 4.25B expressly instructs the VA that they shall rate a separate disease entity, and they specifically identify arthritis, as a separate disability.
But the rating that occurred was a rating of a left knee injury with arthritis, almost suggesting that the arthritis was secondary or developed along with the progress of the knee injury.
And that makes it an additional disability subject to the provisions of either 3.310A or the provisions of the diagnostic code to tie it to that left knee. But at that point in time, whether it's at the time of the exam or it's at the time of the rating decision, that's the first time that they use that diagnosis to evaluate it. Once they change their diagnostic criteria for evaluation, they were recognizing the implications of a new disability by adding arthritis. That was not in play prior to November 1 of 2003. Because it wasn't in play prior to November 1, 2003, that's protected. There's no more debate. There's no more discussion. If he doesn't have the rating criteria, doesn't meet the rating criteria for 10% anymore, it's moot.
Okay, so he's protected. So you're saying that 5003 then requires a 10% rating, correct?
Right.
Now, I'm reading 5003, and admittedly, I think it's a little confusing. But if you take a look at it, maybe you can help me out here. It says, when, however, the limitation of motion of the specific joint or joints involved is non-compensable under the appropriate diagnostic codes, a rating of 10% is for application.
Correct.
Well, it wasn't non-compensable. You're saying it's protected, right?
No, you're saying it's protected.
Then why are we here? So you're not saying it's protected.
No, I am saying it's protected. What I'm not saying is that it's not non-compensable. I believe the board found that it was not compensable.
Well, how did they find that it was only compensable
based upon pain and arthritis. And there's a clear ambiguity in the board's decision as to whether that pain results from. They say in the board's decision, in the record at 13 and 14, that they find no basis for a rating under flexation or under extension, and that the only basis for the rating is the pain and, by extension, the arthritis.
Well, it looks to me like 5003 is applied in the current situation, and the current situation at that time was there was a 10% rating. So now the guy has arthritis. He's got a 10% rating that is protected.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at 5003, the additional 10% only comes when that protected 10% it doesn't exist. In other words, you only apply the additional 10% when the protected rating is non-compensable.
Well, quite candidly, that gets back to Judge Mormon's question as to what we're protecting here. And are we protecting the diagnostic code? Are we somehow protecting a diagnosis? Because clearly, 5257 was protected. 5062 and 5061 were never in play. Or excuse me, 5260 and 5261, mm-hmm. excuse me, were never in play okay. at the time in which he had a rating mm-hmm. that was protected.
Okay, so you say 5257 was protected. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Well, okay, if it was protected, it carried with it a 10% rating. How can the 10% rating not be protected if, in fact, that's the prejudice here?
No, that's not what they rated him under, Your Honor.
Okay, if you said 5257 was protected.
That's
so
correct.
They rated him under that, and they rated him for 10%.
No. Excuse me, Your Honor, and I don't mean to frustrate you, but the VA rated him under a different diagnostic code from the protected diagnostic code.
And now they did, right?
Post-November 1, 2003. That's correct.
Okay, all right, I understand that.
And when they did that, mm-hmm. the board decided he wasn't entitled to any rating except by way of arthritis,
correct.
Even though, in my view, they made that as confusing
right.
as possible.
No, I agree
with you
there. I believe
that that's their ultimate conclusion.
Okay.
And that they were doing that on the basis of a different diagnostic criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that he had the right to protection under 110 and the reg for the 10% under 5257.
Okay, let me extend this out a little bit, if I may, Mr.
Okay.
Kerr. Sorry. Just to take your thought a little bit further. Let's say that after the 20 years, came in, got his rating, 10% laxity, 20 years later, nobody's looked at him in 20 years. He hasn't shown up at a VA hospital. There's been no exam. There's no requirement for VA to do an exam. They just let time pass. 20 years later, he comes in, goes in for an exam, and the doctor says, "Man, you're cured. It's unbelievable. Your knee is perfect.
Yep.
Except you've got arthritis." The VA diagnostic code says that under certain circumstances, you get 10% for arthritis. And under certain other circumstances, you don't get 10% for arthritis. Is he getting a clean look here?
Okay.
Does VA have to engage in the fiction of saying he still has something that he no longer has in order to get to the point where you would like to apply 4.25? Do you understand what I'm asking?
I do, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I think the response is this, that there is an inherent conflict in the diagnostic rating criteria under 5003 for arthritis that suggests, as you suggest in your hypothetical, that if there is nothing, then you get the 10%, and that's the only time you get 10% for arthritis. That is in direct contradiction to the language of 4.25, and this appeal is based on the language of 4.25. The language of 4.25 says you shall rate as a separate disability, single disease entities, and they expressly identify arthritis. And in so doing, I believe they are required to assign a rating for that. Because it seems to me that it's inconceivable that they would write in the regulation a direction that it's to be treated separately and then say, but we'll go back and you don't have to assign it unless there is no underlying disability. That conflict I cannot resolve. But that's, forgive me, Your Honor, not the issue in this case. The issue in this case is we have a protected rating. We know what it was he was getting it for. And it is, in fact, exactly like your hypothetical. He is, at least in the vision of the VA, cured of the 5257 limitations. But that's protected. Once they discover the arthritis, I believe the provisions of 4.25B are implicated. And that's the mistake. That's the error that was made by the board
okay.
in not addressing 4.25.
4.25 is does Mr. Murray's condition, his initial condition, his initial problem with his lateral stability of his knee, is that a disease?
No.
Okay, then 4.25B, as I read it, says, except as otherwise provided in this schedule, the disabilities arising from a single disease entity.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, for example, arthritis, right? Now, if the initial disability arose from an injury, not a disease, then why doesn't why is 4.25B a protective device?
Because 4.25B instructs as to what constitutes that single and separate disability. And it defines those expressly. And one of those that is defined is arthritis. And I believe, just as you can under 3.3 10A, have a secondary condition that is separate, can be a separate disease, in this case, of arthritis. And as a consequence, it triggers the provisions of 4.25, regardless of what the underlying condition is. That the underlying condition can come from that injury. I see I just expired. Did you have a question?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to follow up, just maybe if we could add 2 minutes. If you could turn with me to the record on 13.
Page 13 in the board's decision?
Right.
Yes.
Right. The beginning section is titled Analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you look at the first paragraph, it goes through the current rating assignment for left knee arthritis based on limitation of motion in the diagnostic codes 5260 and 5261, and talks about the 10% and discusses under diagnostic code 5261. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
When the 10%... In the first full paragraph we're talking.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So the next paragraph, considering the rating criteria used here, relevant evidence in the record, the board finds that the 10% rating for the residuals are, with arthritis, are most appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And the board decision goes on to talk about the medical evidence of record, where it discussed he had flexion at worst, and fully acknowledging his pain to at least 128 degrees in the January 2008 VA examination. So this directly addresses the range of motion issues,
right,
that either are or not present in the evidence,
right,
of record. What you're taking issue with that assessment, obviously.
No. And as a matter of fact, under that assessment and under the rating criteria for 5260, he's non-compensable.
Okay.
With the exception of the DeLuca element of pain.
Okay.
And then the question is, does that pain arise from the knee, or does that pain arise from the new disability, from arthritis?
Okay.
So the problems with this board decision are significant in its lack of clarity, but in my view, the error is the failure to address 4.25. It's sort of left out there, and if I could just comment on that first sentence in the second paragraph, the reference is to 4.7, which,
right,
is consideration of the next higher rating. So there wouldn't be any basis for consideration for the next higher rating based upon the measurements of limitation for flexion under 5260 or extension under 5261.
Okay.
Unless there's further questions, I'll reserve the balance.
Mr. Carr, if you need it, we'll extend your time appropriately.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Again, Michael Carr for the Secretary. If I may, I'd like to start off exactly where Judge Davis, you left off with the board decision itself. And if you look at Record of 13, it begins by saying in the analysis section, the veteran is currently assigned a 10% rating for left knee arthritis based on limitation of motion, diagnostic codes 5260 and 5261. And I think it would be helpful to turn back to diagnostic code 5003, which Judge Eagle, you mentioned before yourself. And in that rating code, diagnostic code rather, it does state that degenerative arthritis established by x-ray findings, which is the case here, will be rated on the basis of limitation of motion under the appropriate diagnostic codes for the specific joint or joints involved. In this case, that would be 5260 or 5261. And again, the board explicitly stated that he was indeed being rated for the arthritis under that, and 5003 would direct that that be the case. So I just wanted to clarify that. One other thing, Judge Davis, again, you asked Mr. Carpenter when arthritis was first manifest. I do agree it was sometime after 2000, certainly, but record at 437 indicates that, and this is from April 2002, that degenerative changes were noted in knees bilaterally. So at least at that point, there was some indication there were degenerative changes. Again, certainly the final arthritis being connected to the service-connected left knee injury was not until March 2008, and that was the rating decision which included arthritis and consider that to be residual, if you will, of his in-service left knee injury. I think the point here is that our position is 3.951B, 38 CFR 3.95B, was not violated here, and nor was 38 CFR 4.25B. If I may, I'll start with 3.951B. In that regard, the Secretary did submit a 30B letter, I believe on April 19th, included with that letter is some legislative history, which talks about 38 U.S.C. 110. And again, that's the governing statute. 3.951B, the Federal Code Regulation, essentially parrots the language of Section 110. And the legislative history, I think, is helpful here. And the reason why we submitted it is because it showed what the congressional intent was behind the statute and, by extension, the regulation. That was to protect the rating itself. And the rationale was for those veterans who become accustomed to receiving a certain level of compensation for, in this case, 20 or more years, it wanted to eliminate an uncertainty on their end that they could come back in after 20 years and be assured that that check that they were getting, the amount they were getting, would never be altered. And that's really the intent behind it. And as was pointed out, that was maintained here. The 10% has been maintained throughout not only the entire appellate period, but from 1983 when he was originally granted service connection for the left knee injury.
Mr. Carr, if you could address the 4.25 apparent contradiction that appellant's counsel raises.
Certainly, Your Honor. Again, I'll read once again. 4.25b provides that the disabilities arising from a single disease entity, and arthritis is among them, listed explicitly, are to be rated separately. In this case, it's clear that, and certainly according to the board, that they are rating for arthritis. And it's not the arthritis, it's the disability arising from that. And I think if you look to 5003, Diagnostic Code 5003, it says rate arthritis based on limitation motion under the appropriate diagnostic code. And that's what essentially happened here. He was rated under 5260 and 5261. So I'm not sure there's any direct contradiction in that sense that, you know, when you look at arthritis, what's the disability flowing from that? And again, I noted in my 30B letter, Secretary's 30B letter rather, the case of Palchevsky. In that case, the court did basically define how we should look at disability for VA purposes, and I think it's in line with what the RO did here in the sense that you look at the impairment of earning capacity rather than what the disease or defect.
Well, I know, but what we're talking about here is protection, and regardless of, you know, what the overall disability picture is. Now, could you address you were talking about 4.25, and I'm concerned, or I'm trying to understand the language in 4.25, and as I indicated there, my lack of understanding comes from the use of the word disabilities, and it says it springs from a disease. Are you disputing Mr. Carpenter's analysis of that, or are you saying that it doesn't apply because, you know, the original condition was not a disease?
To the extent that in 1983 the grant of service section did not include arthritis, that the Secretary would concede. And again, arthritis was not shown to be evident until many years later. What I would point out, though, is that what he's manifesting now is some very slight limitation of motion, which again, if you look to 5003, arthritis, you're to rate the residuals and manifestations of arthritis based on limitation of motion, which is what they did here. And I think looking through, if I may, with the court's permission, just go through a few of the rating decisions which show how this has progressed over the years.
Okay.
And I'll start off initially, obviously, with the 1983 decision. And in that...
Could you reference the record, please?
Certainly, Your Honor. That's at record 643. And that's a December 1980 rating decision. That was the rating decision which granted service connection for the left knee, residuals of the left knee injury.
All right, this rating decision indicates the veteran continues to complain of problems with the left knee.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your point?
That's one of the points, but further down, it notes the findings were physical examination were essentially within normal limits, except for mild laxity. And I think going forward, and again, a 10% rating was assigned at that point. Going through forward to August 2002, and that is at record 416 to 422, and that is the rating decision from which this appeal derives.
Okay.
In that rating decision, Your Honor, the regional office noted a recent March 2002 VA examination, which noted he had full range of motion without pain. Anterior posterior drawer, lacking intestinal memory were all negative. What they did say was that the veteran reported his gait had changed to accommodate his right knee pain, which is a separate circumstance disability, which remanded by the board, and this is affecting the left knee. However, did not state in what way. And the board, or the RO rather, there said, with resolution of reasonable doubt in your favor, the current 10% evaluation is continued, as you indicate there are left knee symptoms. The final rating decision I'd like to reference would be January 2003.
Okay, what you just read was at record 418.
416 to 422, I believe it probably, yes,
with
it was 418.
With resolution of reasonable doubt.
That's correct, 418, Your Honor. And finally, the January 2003 rating decision, which is at record 323 to 330. The important point, one of the important points to make here is that both the August 2002 and January 2003 rating decisions were within this appellate period, but were also prior to the veteran crossing that 20-year threshold, which is referenced in 38 U.S.C. 110 and 38 CFR 3.951B. In the January 2003 rating decision, specifically this is at record at 327, the RO notes there, the left knee is shown to be essentially asymptomatic on VA examination of March 2002. Then they note that there were minimal findings referred to the left knee on VA examination of January 2003. And what they noted was there is slight limitation of motion, which continues to be the case. Importantly, they also say there is no laxity, and there is some pain with flexion. The RO then concluded that there were no objective findings which support an evaluation in excess of the currently assigned 10% evaluation under either Diagnosis Code 5257, 5260, or 5261. They considered all those, and it's evident from this, at this point, which again, this is prior to the 20-year mark being crossed, that what he was exhibiting was some slight limitation of motion and some pain with flexion. And if I might, just comment on something that Mr. Carpenter appellant mentioned.
Let me just follow up on that, Mr. Carey. You're not
certainly
suggesting that the fact that VA was looking at other possibilities within the 20 years affected the protected status of the rating at all?
Not at all, Your Honor. The 10% has been maintained, and that necessarily would have been required to be maintained. Correct, Your Honor.
And no reference in the record cites that you provided to arthritis issues.
That's correct. It wasn't until March 2008 that the RO actually said that the arthritis was deemed to be a residual, if you will, of the in-service left knee injury, and they included it with the rating, maintained the 10% in that rating decision.
So your position is that as a residual, it should not be rated separately under 4.25?
Well, I think the key here, Your Honor, is that this is the residual. He is rated for arthritis. There's nothing apart from that which is evident, and that's shown through...
Based on the other...
Yeah,
progress of the left knee injury.
That's correct, Your Honor. As we progress through time and these two rating decisions, which were a part of the appellate period here, both of which And these, the January 2003 and the August 2002 rating decision were prior to the 20-year threshold being crossed. And that coupled with the fact that the legislative history of 38 U.S.C. 110 reflects that what's protected is the level of compensation, not only the check, but any concomitant benefits that might flow from that, healthcare, things like that, but it's the level of compensation, not any particular diagnostic code or diagnosis, if you will, that's protected. If I may, to the extent that appellant now argues that a 10% rating was protected under specifically under Diagnostic Code 5257, the Secretary would want to point out that that is a marked departure from his written pleadings, and specifically his reply brief. If I may, I would like to point out how it appears the Secretary that or appellant was arguing the case. And I'll start with reply brief at page 3. In that, appellant states, Mr. Murray's allegation of error that the board failed to correctly apply 4.25B has nothing to do with the diagnostic code assigned. If I may continue, there were just a few other passages which clarify really what the argument is. VA's reliance on General Counsel Presidential Opinion 13-92 is misplaced because the issue is not, in this case, is not a matter involving the difference between disability and diagnosis or the modification of a diagnostic code. In fact, also, this is reply brief at 3. Appellant states there was no factual dispute concerning how the board evaluated Mr. Murray's left knee disability under Diagnostic Code 5260. And again, that's what the redesignation of the diagnostic code resulted in. It was originally in 1983, Diagnostic Code 5257. It then later was redesignated in March 2008 to 5260-5261.
Along those lines, explain to me, I do agree with Mr. Carpenter that the board decision to me is a little confusing, but would you explain to me how it was that they arrived at 10% with regard to arthritis?
I'll refer first to Diagnostic Code 5003, which in that case it does say what you initially do, rate them under the appropriate diagnostic code. Limitation of motion here would be 5260 or 5261. Okay. Admittedly, and this is not challenged by appellant, nor by the secretary, it doesn't challenge or question these findings of the board, but the findings essentially were that appellant here doesn't have limitation of motion that would even warrant, at one point they say, a 0% rating on 5260 and 5261.
But he did have limitation of motion.
That's correct.
Originally, right?
Well, it's not evident from the...
Well, I mean, now there's a change in diagnosis or whatever, right? Okay, but originally the RO found that, hey, you've got this problem with the lateral movement in your knee, correct?
Well, going back to the 1983 rating decision, which granted service connection, mm-hmm. they said essentially it was within his knee was within normal limits, except for mild laxity. Mm-hmm. Whether that translates into actual instability,
mild laxity, okay. But whatever it is, it's not... 52, whatever it is, he's now being rated under 5260 and 61, correct?
Well, yes, the diagnostic code changed.
Right. I understand. But at one point, he was rated under this other diagnostic code, and he was assigned a 10% rating, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, now, how is it you shift from there to giving 10% under the new diagnostic code? What happens? How do you get to the new diagnostic code? Just by changing the numbers that he's rated under?
Well, no, Your Honor. I think this certainly involves looking at what it was, what the impairment was. Again, mm-hmm. what the rate under the average impairment burning. And in this case...
I think you're getting to the point of Judge Mormon's question when he says, what happens if he's cured, correct? I mean, what you're saying is this instability, this laxity is no longer exists, mm-hmm. right? Wasn't what you said. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, certainly, Your Honor. I think what I attempted to illustrate through reference to the rating decisions was mm-hmm. certainly by January 2003, which again was during the current appeal period but prior to the 20-year mark, it was explicitly stated that there was no laxity, but what there was some slight limitation of motion.
Right.
And that was acknowledged, and he indeed still has that, and the board, I think, acknowledged that as well. It's slight. In terms of how we get to the 10%, one, the 10% rating itself is protected. He's had a rating in effect for more than 20 years, and the secretary absolutely agrees that that has to be maintained. Where we switch it
for a left knee injury.
For a left knee injury, correct, Your Honor. Okay. Correct. Yes, that's actually a very good point. How it's been framed throughout has been residuals of a left knee injury. That is consistently how it's been framed, Your Honor. And essentially what we're saying now is the residuals here, we've now shown that, as confirmed by X-ray evidence, as noted by Mr. Carpenter, he has arthritis of that same joint, the left knee.
Right.
The rating in...
Which is different, a different, I'd call it disease or injury, than he had before.
It certainly would be different than laxity,
okay.
I would say.
All right.
Sorry, Your Honor. But I think one of the key points was certainly by January 2003 when the rating agency found, the RO found, that he did not have laxity but did have mild or slight limitation of motion.
So they're saying number one is cured, now he's got number two.
Well, I'm not sure they used that as words, but yes, essentially they found that these are the residuals, or these seem to be what he's manifesting, and that's...
I'll get to my point.
Okay.
If it's cured, it goes, what happens to the percentage?
Well, the percentage is going to be maintained.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. If it's cured under this other diagnostic code, which resulted from an injury, then why doesn't that 10% go to zero? I mean, if you're maintaining that what happened is that now we shift diagnostic codes because we have this new, now it's a disease entity that's causing, well, that's causing a different problem with the knee. The only way you can get from one diagnostic code to the other, it seems to me, is to reduce the original one to zero and then go over to another one and say, oops, okay, this is worth 10%.
Secretary wouldn't quite see it that way. A couple things. One, again, the percentage itself is protected, and in addition to the legislative history, the General Counsel has spoken on this in some...
I understand. The percentage is protected.
Correct.
But in order to... He's got 10% and he's got 10%. But the original, in order to keep the same disability, you've now rated it based upon two different occurrences. I don't really know what word to use. So in order to get to keep the same disability level, it seems to me you have to take the original one, the protected one, down to zero in order to rate it over here under arthritis.
I think one of the things I'd like to point out, and again, this would go to what Judge Davis mentioned, was what he was service-connected for was a left knee injury.
Wait a minute. First of all, is the answer to my question, is it yes or no, or maybe?
The short answer is no, Your Honor. I'll explain why.
All right, good.
A point that Judge Davis pointed out was that he was granted service connection for a left knee injury. What we've seen and what I've tried to demonstrate was that at most, in 1983, when he was granted service connection, there was mild laxity. Otherwise, the RO stated he was essentially within normal limits. As we move forward, that laxity was no longer shown to be the case. He then had limitation of motion. That essentially is what he was manifesting. And in terms of arthritis being different, if you look at 5003, that says rate arthritis based on limitation of motion. I think that's where the two come together, Your Honor. And that's essentially what he's being.
Aren't they rating him, I mean, on a different, you know, a different condition now?
Well, I think...
I mean, you know, I know you said it's residuals, right, of a knee injury.
That's right.
But we've got different diagnostic codes. And so now he's got arthritis, which is a new condition. So no, and he's given a 10% rating. But he's given a 10% rating for arthritis. And in order, so I've asked this question before. I know this is redundant. But, well, actually, I won't. I'm making a statement. I'm not asking a question. So if you have anything more to add to that, then I'd be happy to hear.
I'd like to try at least, Your Honor. I think when we look at, and I think this goes back to what it is Mr. Carpenter is looking for, and he's saying, this is a reply brief at 6, he notes the 10% rating is protected under 3.951B, and he says cannot be altered by the VA because he no longer meets the VA's rating criteria of limitation of motion. So there, I think that's a reflection of his understanding that what's protected is the limitation of motion. And I think, reading further, this is again at reply brief at 6, he's entitled to a separate 10% rating for his arthritis under Diagnostic Code 5003. That's where there's a problem, I think, because 5003 tells you to rate under limitation of motion. To rate him under 5260-5261, which again is for flexion and extension, that's limitation of motion, and to give him a separate 10% rating, if you will, under Diagnostic Code 5003, then you're brushing up against 38 CFR 4.14, because on its face, 5003 says rate based on limitation of motion. So then you'd be getting two ratings, essentially, for limitation of motion. And I think that's where the problem is. Again, he's not arguing, at least in his written pleadings, that the diagnostic code per se, 5057 in this case, is what's protected, but that he's 10% protected apparently under 5260. He says on page 3 of his reply brief, there's no factual dispute concerning how the board evaluated Mr. Murray's left knee disability under diagnostic code 5260. Your Honor, Judge Hagel, to wrap around to one of the earlier things you mentioned, I think the key here is that he's getting the 10%. That's been maintained, and he's getting the 10%, as Judge Davis pointed out on Record 13, for arthritis, and that seems to be the manifestation, the limitation of motion, which is, directs us to rate under 5260 in this case, or 5261. And that's why we believe that neither 3.951B nor 4.25B were violated in this case.
So let me make sure I'm trying to put all these pieces together. And in the record at 13, at the conclusion of the second paragraph, we have a statement from the board that says, thus the veteran has, at most, slight limitation of flexion in his left knee, insufficient to warrant even the lowest possible compensable disability evaluation under Diagnostic Code 5260.
And that, admittedly, Your Honor, it would be confusing. I think the way to reconcile that is to say the 10% rating is protected. While he doesn't have limitation motion that would warrant a compensable rating under either 5260 or 5261, Diagnostic Code 5003 does state that if I could go back to that, it says specifically, well, initially you rate under the appropriate diagnostic code for right. limitation motion. When, however, the limitation motion of the specific joint or joints involved is non-compensable under the appropriate diagnostic codes, which is actually the case here and not disputed by appellant in his pleadings, a rating of 10% is for application for each such major joint, and the knee being one, a major joint, or group of minor joints affected by limitation of motion. And in this case, it says limitation of motion must be objectively confirmed by finding such a swelling, muscle spasm, or satisfactory evidence of painful motion. I think at most here, what might make this clear is that perhaps the 10%, the redesignation ought to have been under Diagnostic Code 5003 rather than 5260 or 5261. On that point, though, I would say there's no harm or no error there, because if you give the veteran here the 10% rating under 5003 and it gets worse, automatically it says if you can rate it under the appropriate diagnostic of limitation, you do so. So if it were to get worse, such that it would warrant a higher rating under 5260 or 5261, the agency would be required by law to do that, to automatically go to those ratings.
But Mr. Carr, what you've done in a very effective way is to show the progress and the improvement of the left knee injury to a point where, consistent with what the board says, it would warrant the lowest possible compensable evaluation. However, because it's protected, that 10% is going to carry forward anyway, even though he may have close to full range of motion, right?
That's correct. And even if there was, I would say, because of the 20-year threshold being crossed, even if, as found by the board, he didn't have a rating or limitation motion sufficient to warrant a rating, compensable rating under 5260 or 5261, or even any limitation motion at all, under such that a 10% would be warranted under 5003, that 10% would still have been maintained.
Okay, so we have that 10% maintained because it's a protected rating. And then we get to 5003, and I guess this is now coming full circle, because with the almost complete range of motion, you still have the 10% rating protected, but you also now have the arthritis issue. And clearly the evaluations rate the arthritis problem at 10% now as well. Yes?
Well, I think if you look back to the January 2003 rating decision, what he was manifesting at that point within the 20-year period was slight limitation of motion. There was no longer any laxity, and that was explicitly stated, and that was the one thing that was noted in 1983. And in terms of arthritis, 4.25b rather says you rate disabilities arising from that, and in this case, it's manifested by the limitation of motion and some painful motion as well, which was acknowledged. To that extent, they're the same manifestation. To grant a separate rating, I'm not sure how you would do that without really violating 38 CFR 4.14, because you're now rating arthritis based on limitation of motion. That seems to be what he was manifesting as we go forward. No longer any laxity, as was originally noted. So we have some slight limitation of motion noted in January 2003, and we still have that. What the RO in 2008 acknowledged was that, okay, you've got X-ray evidence of arthritis, and it's been determined that this is related to the in-service left knee injury, and that's what he was rated for. He was granted service connection for, rather, was residuals of left knee injury. This is deemed to be residual, if you will, of that, and it's manifested by the limitation of motion, and the disability, i.e., the impairment, is measured by the limitation of motion.
I understand your point. It's a little, you know, when you have the limitation of motion paradigm here, mm-hmm. and the arthritis, it becomes the 5503 does say you rate that based on limitation of motion.
Yes,
so,
sir.
In essence, you're suggesting that these have been kind of together all along. In some ways, or no?
Well, I think in some way it certainly does reflect sort of an evolution of the injury, of the residuals of the injury that he actually suffered in service. And again, I would want to stress that the findings by the board...
I'm not sure I understood your answer to Judge Davis's question. I think I understood his question to be, weren't these really the same thing all along? Is your answer to that yes or no?
Well, the short answer, if you will, Your Honor, is no. And that's because, as I noted in 1983, really the only objective manifestation, according to the RO, was some mild laxity.
Right.
But moving forward, I think I'll try to illustrate that as we went forward. Certainly within that 20-year period and by January 2003, explicitly the RO found there was no laxity, but there was some slight limitation of motion and some pain on flexion, which was noted in that rating decision. To that extent, I don't see how you get a separate rating under, say, 5260 and 5003. That would, I think, be pyramiding, because you're talking about rating on limitation of motion, and in this case, they, you know, that seems to be the only manifestation. The facts as found by the board were not challenged by appellant here in terms of saying that there was no instability. They cited multiple VA examination reports. What they did find was some slight limitation of motion. To my knowledge and my recollection of appellant's pleadings, none of those facts were challenged. And so what we do have now is some slight limitation of motion. That's the manifestation that is evident from the evidence of record at this point.
Now, the seems to me the primary issue we're all talking about is this protected rating, right? Now, I don't read anywhere in the board decision where they talk about protected rating. Am I right?
If I might, Your Honor, I do recollect. Actually, this is at record at 14. The last last paragraph on that page. The last thing you'll see is a reference to 38 CFR 3.951B.
But that's the only reference, and it's totally disconnected from the paragraph that precedes it. Am I correct?
It is the only reference. That's true, Your Honor.
And there's no discussion.
There's no discussion of 3.951B. However, again, I would reiterate that the 10% rating he's had since 1983 has been maintained.
Yeah, I know, but this is the big issue here, is whether or not the protection... That's the essence of this whole matter here, and it's not even addressed in the board decision. So I can't quite understand why. You know, it seems to me it's pretty evident on its face whether the board just didn't see it. I mean, except for that citation, and didn't deal with it, or I don't know. I'm not sure why. It seems to me, at least in hindsight, it should well have been addressed. Tell me why that's not true.
Well, I can't speak to why they didn't elaborate further on that, but what I can speak to is the fact that they went through in a rather comprehensive way, went through the rating diagnostic codes, if you will, They noted what he was manifesting, what he was not, rather, in that sense, not manifesting any sort of instability or subluxation. He did have some slight limitation of motion. I think at best you can read the reference there to 3.951B as I'm saying the objective evidence does not show instability, and this again, this is that paragraph, or subluxation of left knee, according to multiple VA examination reports. The veteran's examinations were negative for objective evidence of instability or locking of his knee against, as his knee, left knee ligaments were stable. And I think the reference immediately following there to 3.951B is, I think, generously, you know, to reflect that, okay, despite the fact that it doesn't have anything that would have maintained the rating under 5257, that 10% rating nonetheless has to be maintained. And it actually was maintained through the time of service connection. But
wouldn't that have been nice to have written that sentence?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes.
Because then we get to the limitation of motion and arthritis.
That's true, Your Honor. Certainly, a further elaboration would have been helpful. But I think if you read that and then continue on further at the top of the next page, continuation that would go on further about what was shown. And in the end of that first paragraph, it says, while x-rays of the veteran's left knee in February 2008 show arthritis, the board again notes that the veteran's limitation of motion of the left knee is insufficient to meet the criteria for a 0% rating. So I think reading it all in context shows, well, he's not exhibiting any instability or subluxation. And they note, they go through the evidence with that in mind. But then they talk about what he does have is some slight limitation motion. However, that's insufficient to even meet the 0% rating. Nonetheless, I think the key thing here is that the 10% has been maintained throughout. And that
well, except they don't say why, right? I mean, you're telling us as a litigation position why, but it's the board who has to make the decision.
I
understand that point, and had the board said that, you know, maybe or maybe not, we would be dealing with a different case. But it's the board who has to make this explanation to us.
If I could, a couple of things I'd like to try to tie it together, if I may. Another thing the board did actually mention, though, was General Counsel Opinion 23-97, which talks about a rating under 5257 and arthritis and the ability to get multiple ratings, which has certainly been acknowledged by the Secretary. One of the key things, though, is it says, provided additional disability is shown. And that paragraph there does precede the discussion of diagnostic code 5257, and then at the top of the next page, the discussion about the limitation motion and it not being sufficient to even meet a 0% rating. So I think they did acknowledge you could get multiple ratings as long as there's disability, which unfortunately has not been shown here. The other thing is, I think the import of the legislative history is helpful in the sense that it shows what's protected is the percentage itself, not any particular diagnostic code or diagnosis, if you will. And I think those things there take it beyond a mere litigation position, I would hope, Your Honor. And I think that's those are the things that we would look to demonstrate our position.
Okay. Does anybody have another question?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Let me ask you, first of all, what relief are you seeking here?
I think the decision of the board needs to be reversed, and this matter needs to be remanded with instructions to direct them to address the provisions of 4.25B and 3.951B.
Why wouldn't we remand it for the board to tell us exactly why it was that what they did with this 20%, I mean, with this 10% rating, maintaining 10% rating?
Well, I don't have any problem with that. You asked me what my preference would be. And,
no, I'm asking you what the relief you're asking for.
Yeah, and I believe at the end of the day it's the same relief because they have to explain how these regulations apply to the facts of this case.
But if we reverse, we're telling them, hey, you're wrong here, and so the only thing for them to do, it seems to me, is to give him another, well, to rate him separately under... Well, actually, they've already determined he's entitled to 10% under the arthritis provision. So I guess the only, what you would argue is that he's entitled to a 10%, and so 10% is 20%.
That's correct. Okay. And that's why it seems
to me. And if we reverse, that's what they would. That's what the secretary would have to do. Right.
Right. And I believe that that's what is required in this case.
The government asked you to go back and look at the earlier decisions prior to the 20 years, and I would urge you to do the same. And note that at the end of each of those rating decisions, the diagnostic code remained 5257. I believe, Judge Hagel, your question was particularly salient to the problem in this case, which is really one of transparency. When did this happen, and how did it happen? There is nothing in the record to explain to a pro se veteran what happened to his 10% rating.
But he wasn't he represented at this time? According to the briefing, he was. I don't know from the record.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I believe that's correct. I believe that at one point he was. There was a problem with the continuation of that representation. But the bottom line here is so what does the record tell either Mr. Murray or a representative about what happened to the evaluation of his disability under 5257. Post-protection, and really for the first time in March of 2008, does the evaluation of this condition appear under a diagnostic code other than 5257? And that evaluation is under a hyphenated diagnostic code that now includes arthritis. It seems to me, Your Honor, that your question of how did the board arrive at the 10% rating is simply not answered in the board's decision, because they explained how it was arrived at under the new code, under the new diagnostic codes that they were relying upon, and at least by implication, the inclusion of 5003, but what was not explained was what happened to the rating. Was it protected or wasn't it protected? I believe that's an undisputed fact in this record.
Well, the secretary would say, as I understand the secretary's argument, what we're really talking about is the residuals of the injury. And arthritis is one of the residuals, and it just, all they're doing is looking at the residuals all the way through. Now, what's your response to that argument?
That is precisely what happens, and once it's protected at 10% and there is a progression to add an additional disability, 4.25 expressly requires a separate rating for arthritis, which is what was given, and that those two ratings, the protected rating and the rating for the arthritis, must be combined. That's what's required. I believe I'm happy to end it on that unless there's any further questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Your
Honor. The case is submitted, and judges will greet counsel.
All rise.